How'd you guys sleep last night? I was talking with Natasha. So he's like, we slept so good. I'm like, no kids waking you up. You like sleep. She said, I almost felt guilty for sleeping so good. That's how you know. How many of you guys left kids at home to come here? Right? Don't feel guilty. I am telling you this. It is okay to leave your children and get away. And I'm super proud of you. Because your marriage is going to last longer than those children are going to be in your home. And they are just as safe with whoever is watching them than they would be with you. God has got them. So put all those worries aside and know that Jesus has your little babies, right? Last night he asked how long some of you guys had been married. There's a few of you that have just been married just a few weeks, months, where right? That's exciting. I would say we need this time away with our husbands and to make it a priority. If you, you're just starting off, that make that a priority. I'm so glad we did that several years ago. We would put them on in our church, but we started going to some of them, and we just got to sit and enjoy and learn and have that time together, make memories. It is amazing to me. I know, guys, it is so weird that my mom and dad are at this couples retreat, but I'm just going to say it. It is amazing to me when you remove all those distractions, how good it is for your intimacy and just building that, because you have, like those of us that know that have kids in the home, all those little sounds, or they're going to walk in. So when you get away, that is just something super important. So I'm glad you guys did that. I will also say this. I am not an expert on marriage. I default to my parents all the time. This is an uncomfortable subject for me to speak on because I feel like I'm just learning every day and I don't have it all together and I feel like more than I succeed. And so I'm like, dude, I have to speak to women about marriage. And some of you guys have been married a long time. You guys should be up here. But I challenge you, that have been married younger, find an older person and ask them how they did it. And you older ones, adopt a younger couple. Our younger couples, I'm blessed that I have a marriage that I can model mine after. But I know so many people that don't have that marriage in their life to model after, and they're going to need to look to people and couples in their church. We need you guys to encourage those younger couples, those of you that have been married and have gone through all the different seasons. So we need you to help encourage. We're all in this like battle to save our marriages together. And it's a team effort. And so I need women like you. Like my husband said last night, we were kind of thinking like who in our life has kind of modeled marriage for us. And my parents is one. My best friend, Robin, her and her husband, she's 15 years older than me, but she's like my closest friend. And her husband just modeled serving each other. She would wake up at 4:30 in the morning to make that man a tuna sandwich so it would be fresh because he would go to work at 5 for like 25 years. And you know what? She just served him, made sure he had his meals, did all this stuff. And now she's gone through some difficulties with health, and he is taking care of her and pushing her in her wheelchair and doing all this stuff. And you see how they just love and take care of each other, and that's modeled sacrificial love for me. And I have some friends that just, they prioritize their marriage. She's always telling me, oh, he surprised me with a getaway, or we're doing this for a marriage. They just make sure, and they have kids a little bit younger than ours, they just make sure that their marriage is a priority. And it's really easy when kids are in the home. They're just so much louder, and they just want so much more of our attention. And, you know, like that whole, like the squeaky wheel, and we're like, child needs my help, but our husbands need us to focus on them. But sometimes it's just like, we need to like, okay, I can do this. I got to focus. Like, we have to like make ourselves do that. But, I'm going to pray in a minute and get started with this, but I'm just really thankful that you guys are here and you're taking time for your marriages. And thank you for letting me speak to you, because I really don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm just going to defer to my parents and the Bible. So I'm going to pray and we'll get started. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you have saved us and that you are here with us, and you are God that loves us. And that, Lord, help us just to rely on you in our lives, in our marriages, in our decisions, our families. Lord, bless this weekend. Help us all to come away grateful. growing closer to you and closer to our husbands, and knowing that you can be glorified through our marriages, which can be a testimony of the wonderful God in this dark world. In your name we pray, amen. So when I was working, I don't know how long ago they asked us to speak at couples retreat. And I was like, really? And we've been married 21 years. My husband and I met in college. We were just best friends. He was such a nerd, you guys. He thought he was so cool, but he grew up in Colorado, like back hills of Colorado, and they were like 10 years behind the times. And I just like felt the need of helping, like get a haircut. Like that was cool 10 years ago. But anyway, I went to West Coast, and my parents live in Hesperia, so they were always, my parents have a revolving door of people, so my mom was like, the first Thanksgiving, if there's anybody that doesn't have a place to go for Thanksgiving, you make sure to invite them. And Donnie and this other guy came. I invited some other people, but they were working, and they couldn't go home for Thanksgiving, so he came, and my grandma lives next door, which always worked out when I'd have friends over, so the guys had a place to stay, the girls, and I think he spent several Thanksgivings and a couple Christmases with us just because he couldn't go home. And my parents were like, nobody should be alone on those holidays. So that's kind of how it started. And we were just friends. We dated other people and went on group dates together. But our senior year, you know, your senior year, you're like looming, like, okay, college is over, and I have to like make some decisions, and I still didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And I was babysitting at the time, and like I said last night, she's like, have you ever thought about Donnie? And I didn't know at the same time he was having conversations with a man in the church, like, have you ever thought about Donna? And so God was working in our lives separately and kind of ordering our steps through older women, older men that were kind of like guiding us. And I still remember the day we would always meet for breakfast. I didn't go to breakfast this morning. I'm not even a breakfast eater. But in college, Donnie and I would meet for breakfast all the way through college. And I still remember he was like, so I've been praying about some stuff. And I was thinking, like, would it be weird? Like, I just remember it was like kind of this like weird, awkward conversation. We're like, but we're friends. Like, I don't know. And then you don't, because we were such good friends, you don't want to like lose that friendship. But the longer I've been married, I'm glad it didn't start with a spark. I'm glad it started with my best friend. I knew some of his weaknesses, and he didn't paint this pretty picture. We were just buddies, you know. And so I'm glad that our marriage started out as a friendship, because he still is very much my best friend, and I laugh with him and we have fun together. And now we just like get to be parents and be in ministry and do life together, and it's really kind of a blessing. So so when I was thinking about this, I had this random memory, and I don't know if you guys ever have these memories that you're like, it's super random. But I was in college, this is before I was dating, I want to say it was like my second year of college, and I was coming home, and my best friend Rachel, who I grew up with, I went to go visit her, but she wasn't home, and her mom Cheryl was home. And I spent a lot of time at Cheryl's house, the Carlisle's house, growing up. I was practically at their house every other day. So they are just a family that I adore. And so it was just Cheryl and I talking, and we were kind of reminiscing. And mind you, I wasn't dating. I didn't even have like marriage on my thing. So this conversation still stands out in my mind. She had just gotten back from a trip with her husband, and she said this. And in that moment, I didn't realize how powerful it was until now, 21 years down the road. But she said, you know, Donna, we are just falling in love all over again, and we're in a new season of life. All the kids are out of the house, they were traveling. She's like, it's just like Johnny and I are falling in love all over again. They'd been married for, I want to say, about 30 years then. I think I just asked Rachel yesterday, they've been married 55 years. And so, and I remember thinking just the different, like, there's seasons and seasons of marriage. And so we're going to be in Ecclesiastes today, chapter 3. This is a familiar passage. And as I read it, I just want you to kind of think of it in terms of your marriage, not the killing part, but although there are days. but just thinking about those seasons that we go through in marriage. So I'm going to start. It says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Yes, Ecclesiastes 3, and now I'm in verse 3. A time to kill, which we're not going to do that to our husbands, but we can kill like the rodents and the bugs, right? A time to heal. This one kind of got to me. A time to break down. Have you guys ever just had a breakdown and you're crying? And sometimes, bless those hormones, we don't even know why we're crying. A time to build up. A time to weep. I told my daughter the other day, because she was crying and she didn't want to be crying, and I said, God made our tears for a reason, and tears are healthy and healing. And if God didn't intend for us to cry, he wouldn't have created tears. So it's okay to weep, and it's actually healing and therapeutic. Sometimes we just need a good cry. A time to laugh. It's the same thing for laughing. We need to laugh together. A time to mourn. A time to dance. My children and I have, I don't know how it came about, it was years ago, but we were just making like peanut butter sandwiches, and one of my kids, who was like 4 or 5 at the time, started singing, I'm dancing with the peanut butter, I'm dancing with the peanut, and now it's like this thing whenever in the kitchen, and somebody grabs the peanut butter, I'm dancing with the peanut butter, and we're like, and it's just, but it's fun, and it makes for fun memories. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. I have the best story that has nothing to do with this about a woman that gathered a stone and saved her town. It's a Bible story. If you ask me about it later, it's one of my favorite stories. A time to embrace. Hopefully we've been doing some embracing this week. A time to refrain from embracing. A time to get. A time to lose. I think of sometimes people have like lost their homes, or they've lost loved ones, or they've just lost jobs, and it's part of seasons. A time to keep. A time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. I think it's very proper to hate the things that are going on in the world that are destroying our families and our children. And we just read a story this morning about a girl whose parents let her transition at 12 years old, and now she's 16 and angry at her parents and angry. And I hate that they are doing that to my children. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I love this scripture. I love that God is telling us that there are seasons for everything. There's a time for everything. And they ebb and flow through marriage, which many of us know. Marriage is not for the faint of heart. It takes a lot of work. And especially in different seasons. And different seasons bring out the work that it takes or the heartache. But just like, how many of you guys already decorated your house for fall? Yeah, just like we decorate for the seasons, or just like we prepare for winter. I know none of us, maybe some of you guys live in snow, but like how they have to make sure you have your tire chains in the car, right? Or batten down the hatches, just like we prepare for different seasons. In the physical seasons, we can do the same thing in our relationships. And so depending on the seasons, we decorate, we spring clean, we vacation. Each season has its beauty, right? Each season has its challenges. We were just in Colorado, and I was like, oh, I love the fall-colored leaves. I kept telling my children, look it. You're not going to see this at home. Enjoy the leaves. I was like, let's get some. They're orange and red and not blue, but maybe close. Burgundy. But we can know what each season brings. So I was thinking about spring, and like we have our newlyweds, like the new love or springtime growth, or things are just growing, you're kind of blooming where you are. You're growing maybe as an individual or as a couple. You're just enjoying like the sweet fruits of being married, that abundant life. It's the season of growth and like hopefulness, like, oh, we're just starting. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. We're never going to have any problems. I love us, right? Sometimes couples rush through this season, not really enjoying how special it is. And then there comes summer. We love summer, those sunny days. We all need that vitamin D, like literally we need vitamin D. So, but being thankful for those summer moments, you know, like the kids aren't in school. But the thing with summer too is sometimes we can get like lazy. Like all of a sudden you're like, we have had no schedule for 3 weeks. we have stayed up late, we have ate junk food, you know, but there's fun in that. But then there's also like the heat waves of irritability, you know, because you haven't had a schedule. But it's the season of abundance. We enjoy a closeness. Love and marriage can seem effortless. Couples can become lazy, neglecting further growth. Sometimes I think in the summer times we fail to be intentional in our marriage. We just kind of let it happen. And then there's fall. It gets darker earlier, right? For me, fall is always like this impending busy season because fall and Christmas time, especially in our church, is just busy. It's like the season of uncertainty. You don't know what's about to happen. I would say fall is like when you get the beginning of like a cancer diagnosis or your kid is about to graduate and leave from home. Like you, it's just kind of the start of maybe some dark moments that you can see are about to happen. There are the occasional bright patches of colorful joy, but it's often short-lived and it's like a fragile season, you know? And then there's winter. Winter is like cold and long. It can be the season of bitterness where we become bitter at things that have happened in our life or to our husbands, family. It's easy for couples during this time just to feel hopeless, like, so this is it. This is what we're doing for the next 50 years, you know. I know it sounds terrible to say that, but if we're to be real with each other, there are times because we're in this for the long haul. Where divorce isn't a word in our home, but there are times where you're just like, maybe it's mundane or dark and it's been hard. And you're like, so this is what my marriage is going to be. Is it just going to be loveless? Are we just going to sit and it kind of like weighs on you, you know, and it's dark and we can get trapped in our mind of these like depressive thoughts that can invade our mind. The winter marriage can be cold and distant, with the spouses leading parallel, unconnected lives. Almost like a hibernation. The stormy clashes that leave a trail of devastation behind them. Sometimes we have those fights. And I am telling you, if you don't fight in your marriage, like, I remember being young and having these ladies say, oh, we never fight. And I was like, I don't trust what you're about to say to me because we're different individuals. We have different thoughts. And sometimes we are not walking in the spirit. We're walking in the flesh and we have those battles. And winter kind of seems like those endless. This is never going to end. This is really hard. Marriage is hard. Couples can use these wintering times to intend to our interior spiritual needs in preparation for recovery. So those are just kind of the seasons of marriage. And I think if you took a moment and kind of thought, like, what season am I in? What season do I want to be in? There's the stormy seasons. You know, we've had those storms. We've had heartaches. Sometimes I even think, I was telling a friend the other day, raising little kids is physically exhausting. But now I have teenagers and they are mentally exhausting. Like that is like, you know, and it's just a different kind of exhaustion. There's things that we have to do just to know what season we're in. To me, the season of the mundane, like just in, I got to make dinner again. I don't even know what to make dinner. My children love casseroles, bless their little hearts. So that makes it super easy. But I call casseroles the no love dishes because you just dump everything and stick it in the oven. It took no time and effort. Or then those meals that you're like, oh, this is going to be so good. And you get all like the good ingredients and they're like, I remember Ian was like 5 and I'm like cooking dinner and he walks in, he goes, what is that smell? Is that dinner? I was like, it's going to be good. But, you know, it's hard to come up with a meal every day for your family. But like seasons, marriage goes through cycles, changes. It goes through ups and downs. It goes through good times, bad times. It goes through times of joy. It goes through times of trial. It ebbs and flows through the years. Marriages are in a perpetual transition, growing, evolving and cycling through periods of plentiful intimacy and barren despondency. In many ways, it's just like the seasons. The choices that we make today determine the love and joy we experience tomorrow. Donnie talked about last night, follow God. Mom, do you have a tissue in your purse? This cold weather makes my nose run. And so I'm just going to wipe my nose so I'm not, like, sniffing. I know. There's probably 80 billion of you that have, like, tissues. Thank you. I just don't want to be – they're, like, recording this, and I'm going to be, like, sniffling like a five-year-old. So don't let discontentment, discouragement sneak in during these seasons. Psalms 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And then Romans 8:28, we know this one. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So as we think about these seasons, I'm going to get to my main point, and that is how to be a help to our husbands and our marriages in these seasons. And I kind of made an acronym, but I was learning about this word help. Do you know only two times in the Bible does it refer to help meet to women? The rest is God is our help, or helpers, it's like a military term, like I need help. And we live in this society where they think, oh, help me, and they kind of degrade that term of helper. But we call on God all the time to help us. Oh, Lord, help me. If you think of help as like a counterpart, or like when it talks about military, you and your husband are like soldiers together. He might be your commanding officer, but you're in the trenches together. You're fighting with and for each other. So when I think of help, I want us not to think of what our world would say is just that woman in an apron with pearls in a vacuum. That's not the help meet that I'm talking about. I'm talking about, it's like the whole Donna Reed, right? Which is good. I mean, and there's some of us that love doing that. I always tease. I'm like, Donnie is such a better housewife than I am. I'm like, he just be honest. He doesn't mind doing the laundry. I put it away. He doesn't mind doing some of those things. And I'm like, laundry happens every day. Teach your children to do their laundry young. That is free. You're welcome. Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And Genesis 2:20, "For Adam there was not found a help meet for him." Those are the two verses that are describing what a woman is to her husband. Then there's other verses, and I wrote some of them out, but it's literally like all these ones about God is our help. "Help us, O Lord." Chronicles has a ton. "And God helped the hymn against the Philistines," or Psalms 33:20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalms 40, there's like so many of them. "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." So God is our help. And we don't lower God's value by having him be our helper. It's an exalted place that God is our helper. And he created us to be that help. And we're created in the image of God, and he gave us this very beautiful place of honor to be a help and to be in the trenches with our husbands. And there's so many verses that are just like in the military, and like the Gideon, the mighty men of valor. So, but I'm not going to focus on all that. I just want you to think, okay, help me, because it has kind of been a term that has been twisted in today's society, and it is really a term of honor. If we're ourselves are going to be a counterpart helpers side by side, just think side by side, soldiers fighting with and for each other, helping our husbands in this battle that we call life and living in this world. And I'm just going to read you something because it's a quote by an author I like, but it says, "When we say God is our help, we place him in an exalted place. Is God inferior to us because he is our help? No. Rather, God is elevated when we admit we need his help, that we can't do it on our own. So why would we, as women, feel inferior by being created to help? By understanding that men cannot do it alone, that they need our help to fulfill their God-given roles. We are no more inferior to man because we are created as helpers, any more than God is inferior to us when he is a help to us. As God is a help to his people, so woman was created to be a help to man." Isn't that beautiful? So I kind of made an acronym for HELP, H-E-L-P. I love acronyms. I love alliterations. It helps me remember things. So your first letter, H, he needs you. Ladies, there are some things that only you as a wife can fulfill for your husband. Physically, mentally, spiritually, he needs you. Our husbands need us to be the helper God created us to be. It's a place of honor that I get to be that person to my husband. As a God-designed helper, it means that we have influence into the life of our husbands. Now, we think of like influencer. Women are really good at manipulating that word. And we can, you know that whole like, you can use your power for good or you can use your power for evil, right? So please use your helping influence for good into our husbands' lives, right? But he needs us. He needs us to be there beside him, encouraging him, loving him, lifting him up, meeting those needs that only we can meet for our husbands, because we don't need anybody else meeting those needs for him, nor do we want that. And it's important that to know our husbands really do need us, and God gave us to them. God designed marriage, and we're in this, and we're in this together. So be that, and in the good times and hard times. And it leads me to E. Every day, fight for your marriage. Satan is destroying marriages and families. And we have to choose every day that I'm going to fight for my marriage. I'm going to fight for you, babe. We're not going to fail. We're not going to give up, even in those days that we want to and we just want to walk away. I just want to encourage you to keep going. Ephesians 4:36 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Early on, Donnie and I learned, we are going to have arguments, but we're not going to let it linger. We're not going to go to sleep. Now, there's times like we stayed up till 3 in the morning trying to figure out our issues. And some of us are a little stubborn. But just not letting that sun go down, not letting it fester, not going so long without resolving issues. Not letting Satan have that stronghold in your marriage and realizing that we really are in a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. There is so much battle in our mind. I'm a very creative person, and I can tell you 50 ways that we could all die in the next 10 seconds. That's how horrible my mind is. You know what I mean? But our minds, so we have to cast down those imaginations. As moms, you're like, my kid is going to fall and crack his head, or he's going to choke on. We just can constantly overwhelm our thoughts with worries. Or I'm not good enough. I'm not being what I need to be. We can be our own worst enemy. And those imaginations that are not truths, they're lies from the devil. We need to cast those aside because it is a war. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, those things that are against God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. It really is like if you think about if our thoughts are floating around our head and we're like, ooh, that's not a good thought. You don't get to be there. Ooh, that's not a good thought. You don't get to be there. And only keep the thoughts that God wants us to have. And it's kind of, it's important to know that it's a battle, and there is a huge battle in our mind, but it is a spiritual battle too. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan would love nothing more than to destroy our marriages. The world that we're living in wants to destroy our marriages. They want our families. They want our schools and the doctors making all the choices for our families and marriages. And that is the thief coming to steal that away from us. And then it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Ladies, Satan wants our abundant life. And here's the thing. He knows that he can't get our eternal life. We're saved. We can't lose that. So the next best thing is to take our abundant life to make us ineffective for the kingdom of heaven. He wants us so beaten down and depressed that we aren't thinking about our purpose here in heaven, which is to be a light to this dark world. He wants our abundant life. He doesn't want us to be successful. He doesn't want the world to see something different in our lives, to see like we've placed Jesus first and this is why we have this blessing. He doesn't want us to have a testimony of how powerful God is in our life. He wants our abundant life, so we have to be aware and we have to be ready to fight for our marriage. So every day we have to realize, I am fighting for my marriage. I am fighting for my family. You will not succeed. Here's just a little practical thing, because we all know that we struggle with different things in our marriages, or our husbands struggle with different things. So say your husband struggles with thought life or computer pornography type thing. We made a habit. I've been doing it for years. I will say to my husband, hey, babe, how's your thought life? Have you seen any images that you've been struggling with? And I try to be very open with that. I ask my son that now, too, because you have to. And it has to be open. You can say, babe, how are you doing on your spending? Ask him point blank those things that they struggle with. And not in a, I'm blaming you or turning this into a fight. Just like, I care about you, and I don't want you to stumble because I love you, because this isn't just about you. It's about us as a marriage. Babe, how are you doing with balancing work and family? Some of us may have husbands that just can honestly be workaholics, and they have a hard time balancing or separating from work. How are you doing with that? How can I help you, babe? I love you. I'm praying for you through this. But it is totally okay, and we should be asking our husbands those questions. It's a way that we can help them practically. And it's a way that we're fighting for our marriage. I will just say this too, saying it out loud. Here's the thing about Satan. He cannot read our thoughts. He takes whatever he can get from what he hears out loud in our home. There's a reason that we need to be playing good music in our home and praising the Lord out loud in our home. Because we have like this inner battle. God knows our thoughts and he knows our hearts, but Satan doesn't. So when Satan hears you say, babe, I love you, I'm praying for you, how are you doing with your thought life? Satan knows, oh, she's aware. She's ready for this battle. Don't mess with her, right? Then L, love him in his language. How many of you guys have heard of that book, The Five Love Languages? Okay. It's the five love languages is touch, words of affirmation, time, gifts, acts of service. Basically, it's how we all show our love differently. And we all, like my love language is time. Just spend time with me. Donnie's is acts of service. Neither one of us are really touch people. Our oldest is not a toucher. She went to Chile this summer and everybody hugs and kisses wherever you go. And she's like, ooh. But I was like, well, you're in Chile. But we all love different ways. So we need to learn which way our husband loves so that he feels love. It's called the five love languages because if I go to Mexico and I speak English to them, they're not going to know what I'm saying. But if I do my best to speak Spanish to them, they're going to understand me a little bit. And it's the same thing with our love languages. Donnie knows that just spending time with me, right? Or acts of service so I can put dishes away or make sure he has clean laundry or my husband. He's such a dork. He loves shower crayons because he always like gets his thoughts in the shower. So I make sure he has his little kid bath crayons so he can write his little notes. And he's like, you got these for me? You are the best wife ever. And I was like, yes, I am. Right? But we know those little things that make our husbands feel loved, right? Maybe it's just having that tub of ice cream always at the ready in the freezer, right? You guys could probably write down two or three things that you're like, my husband will feel loved if I do this for him. What else did I did something the other day and he was just like, now I can't even remember. That's how good I am. It was just so awesome. I don't remember it. So think about like how I can convey that love to him in his language because it just helps deepen that love and that relationship. And then that book is called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. So if you haven't read it, it's just a good one. It's a good one just to know your kids' love languages too. And then P, the last one, pursue God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we know that song. Where we are in relationship to God will show in our relationship to our spouses. It really will show. If we're struggling with having a relationship with God and working on that, it's really going to show in our relationship with our husbands. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continuously. Every day, fight for your husbands. Continuously seek the Lord. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Years ago, we had a lady, Faye Powell. She told my mom this, and she told me this every day. Wake up with this song in your heart before your feet hit the ground. Have that song in your head. How great thou art. Or Jesus loves me. Sometimes it's different each morning, but have that song so it can kind of be your anthem for the day. What a friend we have in Jesus. Before you even crawl out of bed, have that song, because it's just a way that we can pursue God in our mind. And then I'm going to close with a story that I like to call a couple goals. You know, that's like a new trending word, like goals, right? I'm learning all these things, and I'm learning that they like pass. As soon as we figure out the newest term, it's old and gone and good news. I was learning the other day that they can tell your age by the kind of emojis you use. And if you use the red heart emoji, you're an old person now. I was like, what? Or just the regular happy face, old person. Poop emoji, old person. We are all old persons in here, right? So couple goals. So in Acts 18, there's a story about Priscilla and Aquila. How many of you guys know who Priscilla and Aquila are? Okay, so they are a couple in the Bible that Paul meets on one of his missionary journeys. Here's the thing I love about this couple. They're mentioned about 6 times in the Bible. They are never mentioned apart. It's always Priscilla and Aquila, Aquila and Priscilla, Prissa and Aquila. Every time you look up the verses, they are always mentioned together. They are side by side. They are together. And Paul came in Acts 18. He comes to Corinth. It says in Acts 18:2-3, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And then in Romans 16:3, it refers to them again. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So Priscilla and Aquila are this couple. They were exiled from Rome. So you know they went through trials and seasons. They were tent makers. They both worked together. She was working with him at the farmer's market when Paul came up and was like, you guys make tents? I make tents. Great. You love Jesus? I love Jesus. Great. Hey, Paul, you need a place to stay? You can stay with us. Awesome. Perfect. I'm sure it went pretty much like that. But they, Priscilla and Aquila, Paul lived with them for about a year and a half, while preaching and teaching and sharing the good news and really starting a church in Corinth. And then when it came time for Paul to move on, Priscilla and Aquila went with him. And then Paul moved on, and Priscilla and Aquila are in Ephesus, and they meet a man named Apollos. How many of you guys have heard of Apollos, right? And Apollos had come, and he was this great preacher, great orator, but he had a limited knowledge of Christ and the Holy Spirit, and it says that Priscilla and Aquila took him in and expounded unto him the things of God more perfectly. This couple together worked together to help Paul, worked together to share, hey, Apollos, we just want to take you in and let you know, here's some things that we learned from Paul. This is why it is important to have people in your life to help for you to learn from. And then Apollos went on to be one of these great preachers. I don't know what verse it is, but Paul is like, I gave the word, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. You know what I mean? So this is what I like to call couples goals, because they were side to side, never mentioned apart, always together, and they were serving the Lord together. And here's what God can do in our relationship. If we are keeping God first and following God, we can have a life where we are always mentioned together. You know, I have some couples that is like, it's Joe and Robin, it's Doug and Becky, it's I want to be known as Donnie and Donna. We're just always mentioned together because we're serving God together. We're in this battle together. We love each other. And it's just what I like to say is our couple goals. And we can leave this legacy. Our children and our grandchildren can be like, look what we learned from this. The children in our church that we have a lady, Grandma Marie, and her husband passed away a few years ago, but they were always together. And everybody calls her Grandma Marie. And they're just known for loving God. Grandma Marie and Forrest Smith, right? And that should be our goals. These are the kind of couples I want us to model our marriage after. We're just always together. We like being together. I know that's weird this day and age, but find some things you guys like doing together. My husband, he'll go shopping with me every once in a while and just sit on the sofa and I just come and show. Or I mean, I got to go shooting with him today. But I said, maybe I'll make you do crafts. I did tell him I would do pictures with him last night. But I said this, if you dress up as a girl and I get to dress up as a guy, he's like, never mind. I was kind of being silly. But those are like our, to be known as helpers in Christ together. Isn't that exciting? They went through trials together. Ladies, we're going to go through trials together with our husbands. They work together. We should be working together with our husbands, not against each other. Sometimes we even are in the same business. Like Donnie and I really are in ministry together. We work together. They welcomed people into their home. It is so good to welcome people into your home. There's more that can be done around a kitchen table than can out and about. So if you are able to have people in your home and use your home, they worshiped God together. They went to church together. They knew God together. They went where they were needed. God might place a call on your husband's life, and it's our life, and say, hey, I need you guys to go here. I need you guys to be a help here. They knew their Bibles. They knew what they believed together. They had wisdom in that. That's why both Priscilla and Aquila talked with Apollos, not just Aquila, which means she was knowledgeable in the things of the Lord. It's important for us to be knowledgeable in the things of the Lord and then to share it. And they were wonderful friends in the ministry. In Paul's last letter in 2 Timothy, he says, greet Prissa and Aquila. And I love, to me, that's almost like this endearing, like, nickname. And Paul was never married. And he has all these things. We're going to be talking about Ephesians tonight. And there's different, like, love chapters that Paul wrote about. And I like to think, you know, maybe Paul's earthly example of a godly marriage was Priscilla and Aquila. And I want us to be an earthly example of a godly marriage to the world around us, to the people in our church. So that is my encouragement for you guys. And I want you guys to know, ladies, we are not alone. We are all in this battle together. And there is somebody in this room that struggles with something just as similar as you. And there's somebody in your church that struggles. And we need to be in this together in encouraging one another, encouraging the younger marrieds, encouraging the older marrieds. Just love each other and say, hey, just see how we can come together to make a difference. And let this be a room that's full of strong marriages because we've prioritized God in it. So I'm going to pray and we'll close.